said, how are you, and what are you doing back home, and all about it. Well, I told him my troubles, and he said, well, he said, why don't you come on, go in, why don't you wait and go in with me? Well, what he was doing, he was going to the top of the glacier, and a bunch of men would get there, and they'd pay him $1 apiece, and he'd show them the way back down the glacier. You know, it had thawed and blowed and changed, and places caved in, and since the outfit had got over it, and so it is quite dangerous. And so I done that. Well, he carried the biggest gun I think ever I seen on one man's hip. He was a big man himself, but boy, that gun looked twice as big as any gun I ever seen. Well, that's where I learned about the most about quitters. My first big lesson about quitters, he taught me. When we'd come to a crevice, why, he'd send me one way, and he'd go the other, looking for a way to get across. Some ways, sometimes you'd go clear across the glacier. There wouldn't be no one or the other and find it. And then we'd all go and cross the glacier. Well, we figured we'd make the 30 miles by night pretty easy. It was plenty of daylight. And going along a pretty good clip. So I come back. I'd found a place to cross and got back. And my whiskered friend hadn't got back yet. And there was a great big husky kid. He was, 23 or 4, I guess. And weighed 190 pounds. I'd say great big fella. And he was laying down and he was actually crying. And, well, I didn't know much about quitters, so I said, what's the matter? Well, he said, I'm just give out. He said, I'm just sick. I just can't go anymore. That's all there was to it. Well, he was just one of those quitters. When things don't happen right, why, they just quit and lay down. You can't explain it. It's mental, of course. But this boy had had experience with them kind of people. And pretty soon he come back, and he was a gruff devil. He said, what in hell's the matter? Why, he said, this fellow's sick and tired. I said, he can't go no more. Well, he said, that's too damn bad. He said, you know, he says, I get them fellas once in a while. And he talked a little broken. He said, I get them fellas once in a while. And he said, I just wouldn't let a dog die on this glacier. He said, that'd be an awful death. And he says, we can't back him out. So he said, I just shoot him. And he started to pull him that gun out. Well, I thought he was going to shoot him. It scared me. I was just stunned for a minute, you know. And the fellow that was sick was, too, because he got on his feet. He said, I'm all right. I'll go on. He said, don't shoot. He said, I'm all right. And by golly, he was. He got up, and he was the first man in the Valdez. Now, that just gives you an idea what fright will do to a quitter. Well, anyhow, I got back to Valdez. I had money this time. I had $5 and my 30 cents and I'd been 90 miles and back. I'd been 90 miles into the interior and back to Valdez. And drowned three outfits, three dogs, and made it back over the glacier. And there was still lots of snow in Valdez. Now, you know, Valdez will have 20, 25 foot of snow, and just 90 miles over the range on the other side, they will only have 18 inches, and that 18 inches is a very light snow. What falls on the Valdez side is awfully heavy. You can just hardly go over to snowshoes, because it's stick to your snowshoes. But that's the difference in just 90 miles. So that's why everything was so much like spring on the Copper Center side. Copper Center was just a bunch of men. There was two cabins, all, and didn't amount to anything at all. Everybody was wondering where to go and not knowing just which way to start. Well, anyhow, Valdez was a booming, and everybody was building something, and they was building a wharf. They was building everything, and they just anybody that had worked could get $1 an hour for as long as they'd work. Well, my long suit was an axe. I liked to use an axe, and I could use one. And so I went to help them build log cabins and worked all summer. Made a just nice piece of jack and bought me some dogs. When when fall come, I had 13 dogs and a 12-foot sled. I had a few dogs in the bunch. It didn't amount to very much. I got rid of them as soon as I could, but the snow had just fell nicely. Now, there was talk now about another trail, a trail around the glacier. You could hear some fellows say, oh, that trail's the best, and others say, oh, the glacier's the best. And it is quite uncertain. But a boat come in one day, and two or three days afterwards, there was a fella come to me and wanted me to take him to Fairbanks. Well, the boat hadn't left yet. I figured, well, gee, now I'm really somebody. A guy come in and want to go to Fairbanks and want me to take him. I must be some dog musher, and I must have some team. And, of course, I all puffed up, and he told me what he wanted, and it was mail, he told me. Well, I don't know what. There was something a little screwy about that fellow and the whole setup. I never did know what it was. Really none of my business. But I made up my mind since that I was just a nice, dumb kid and had some dogs and that it wouldn't make any difference what he'd done. It would have been all right. But they took me on the boat and swore me in as a mail carrier. Well, he had two bags of mail. I've been a-thinking that that was, they would get a lot of money in that mail for some reason. I don't know why. Just from his actions afterwards. But we started out and we went over the Thompson Pass, one of the early ones. It was 103 miles that way to Valdez and 90 over the glacier. But I believe the Thompson was the best. It turned out to be the best because there were no crevices and wasn't so dangerous. But there was some awful wind there. But anyhow, the mail then, the first mail was starting to 40 mile on the Yukon. Well, you went through the pass and down onto the Tanana, across the Tanana, and went on to 40 mile on the Yukon. Well, this fella knew that country, or he had a map. He knew something. I don't think he'd ever been there before, but I think he had instructions. I don't know, but it's always been a kind of a mystery. When we come to the Tanana, now Tanana is what Fairbanks is on, and Fairbanks was just started. You just begin to hear about Fairbanks then. And when we come to the Tanana, he said, we'll go down this. Well, that is all right with me. He was paying me and paying me darn good. And so we went down the Tanana, and he just had no trouble getting to Tanana at all. Of course, we run into Indian tracks, village tracks, before we got to the slough. And he took them and went to the Indian village. And it is only about 20 miles from there to Fairbanks down the slough. Well, there was a man by the name of Burnett come in there with a boat and anchored. And he was really the one that started the stampede into Fairbanks. And this fellow went right square to his boat. He knew him when he got there, and I didn't hear much of their conversation, only I knew that they was friends when he got there. Well, I've often wondered about that guy. I keep forgetting that darn description. Well, over Thompson, that is rugged, I'm telling you. You go up what they call Flat River, I think. I'll think of it. Up to about 20 miles. Then you start up the mountain. Switchbacks and what have you. Plenty straight up. You go up to about 7,500 feet. And then it's more gradual coming down on the other side. But all high mountains. Every place you look is just rugged high mountains. And when you get down a little bit out of the high mountains, you've got fast white water. It's you can just about describe Alaska with rugged mountains, green forests of spruce for miles. You've seen that, of course, but rugged mountains, just unbelievable rugged mountains for Alaska just about any time. Well, of course, on this trip, we passed through Copper Center again, and there was my Wrangell Mountains off me east, and boy, I did love them mountains. I fell in love with them. Fact is, I'm in love with them yet. I think they're the most beautiful things I ever looked at. Then, of course, we went on and went through the Alaska Range. Now, the Copper River runs west. Oh, God, I don't know. We'll have to look that up on a map. But anyhow, the Tanana runs right the other way and runs into the Yukon. So really, one runs north and the other runs south, or so to speak. And so why he hit that river and went down, they'll never know. Now, when you get into the Tanana Valley, well, you've got flat country, not flat, but rolling country. What I mean, you might see a peak that would take you a couple hours to climb the top of a little mountain, but no really rugged mountains in the valley itself. It's very wide flats, 50, 60 miles wide in places, down around Fairbanks where it is. Why, there's a mountain maybe run up several hundred feet, 400, 500 maybe, up and down. But rolling country, no really rough, rugged mountains until you get directly into the ranges. I was going to describe the scenery in Alaska. That's just how it is. Now, of course, in the fall of the year, when the frost hits it, there's lots of popple there. And the spruce still stays just as green, you know. And that popple turn yellow. And boy, is that a picture that you just never forget. A lot of underbrush that's just fiery red, some of it. And well, it's just got anything beat yet for color in the spring of the year. But later years, I flew over that quite a bit after the planes got in there. We used to get in our planes to go sheep hunting and things like that. It made it a lot easier. But I just never got through admiring the rugged country. Now, the coast mountains, I believe, is steeper than the interior mountains. The coast mountains, you start to climb in them, and you'll just reach above you and catch hold of a brush or something or a rock, and your feet will be on the ground, and you won't be leaning too far over. In a lot of places, you'll just be climbing almost straight up. There I've shot goats in the Coast Range and have them fall, I believe, a quarter of a mile right out of off of the mountain. When you'd get up to them, why, they'd be bruised, fat on them, and be all broke loose from the flesh, and they'll just fall for... It looks like time, eternity, that's all. You think they never are going to quit. Well, Dick, I think I've just about got her done. If there's anything more you can think of, why, let me know. I've really just enjoyed this a lot, of going back and traveling some of the old trails, I'm telling you. It's, but so many things, it just surprise you, the things that you have forgot. I know there's lots of things now that I've overlooked. But, for instance, a little while ago, Gladys and I started to think of the dogs' names. There's one that we've not thought of yet. It's, just surprise you in how much water goes under the bridge and how that mind of yours will just kind of, slip away with you. You'll just forget things like that. And I'm satisfied I've left out a lot of detail. And